Welcome to the MetPro Method Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and today I'm joined by MetPro registered dietitian and coach, Amber Velasquez. We are going to be talking about nutrition labels. Amber, thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me back. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
And yeah, but it's always good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you here. And nutrition labels can be tricky because there's a lot of information on there. So I just want to start with some really basic information. When you get to serving size, this is a big one for me because on nutrition labels, they're like ridiculous. It's like, have a teaspoon and that's all you get. And it's 500 calories and 86 grams of fat. And I'm just being sarcastic, but yeah, like why are they even there when they're so tiny that no one's ever going to eat that little?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that because I always feel that way about the serving size as well. But it's really there just to ensure that you're calculating your nutrient intake correctly. So this can help with portion control if you're trying to hit specific macronutrient goals. It can just help guide you in making dietary decisions based on what you and your body need. That serving size does not mean that's all you can have or that's all you should have. It's really based on individual needs and preference. So it's really just there as a guide for you. I wouldn't use it as the end all be all. Some people may need more than one serving. Some others may need half a serving. It's all dependent on your goals and what you need.
Okay. And can you break down the difference between serving size versus servings per container?
Yes. And this gets a lot of people tripped up sometimes. The serving size provides the nutrient content of just one portion size. Whereas the servings per container will tell you how many servings you can get out of the entire box. And some labels will actually have the macronutrient breakdown per serving and per container. Some don't always have the per container, but they will always give you the serving size calculations.
Okay. So we're getting some basics here. Another basic question, what exactly is a calorie?
In simple terms, it's just a unit of energy that measures the amount of energy that our body is consuming through food.
Okay.
So just think of it as a unit of energy.
Which makes sense. But then I know the next question that anyone would ask is then why can't you just eat a certain amount of calories every day?
Yeah, I always love this because it seems like it would be that straightforward, right? If you need 1500 calories, you should just eat 1500 calories. But it's way more in depth than that. But in simple terms, every individual person has individual needs, and there are also little things like macronutrients and micronutrients that are different for your activity level, your gender, your body size, muscle mass. All of those you have to take into consideration because not all calories are created equal. Someone could eat 1,500 calories in candy versus someone that eats 1,500 calories in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And that will look completely different on the spectrum. So the person eating the fruits and veggies, they're going to be much more full and satiated, likely have less cravings because their blood sugar is more stabilized. Whereas 1,500 calories in candy, you're probably not going to feel so great. You might have some tummy troubles. You might have some blood sugar issues. Your energy might be all over the place throughout the day. So I would say that's the biggest difference.
Okay. But like all those labels say, they're based on 2,000 calories a day. So why can't I just assume I need 2,000 calories a day? How am I supposed to know how many calories I need?
And that's a very valid question because that is on every single nutrition label. But that's just a very generic guideline that's based on the estimated daily caloric needs of an average adult to maintain their weight.
Okay.
Average adult can look different in many people's minds. So in my opinion, that really doesn't mean much. That number doesn't account for the individual variations, such as your activity levels or the goals that you're looking to accomplish. But the percentages that you'll see on the label are also based on that 2,000 calorie number. So if you consume fewer, you're going to hit lower percentages of your macronutrients, the vitamins that are listed at the bottom. I wouldn't necessarily pay much attention to the 2,000 calories. I would find what works best for you and your body based on the goals that you're trying to accomplish.
All right. And you've said macronutrients and micronutrients a couple times, but I want to drill into that. what exactly is a macro and why can't I just look at those values then?
Yes, very great question. So macros are macronutrients, and this includes carbohydrates, aka carbs, protein, fat. And then the fourth macro that not a lot of people realize is a macronutrient is water. And that's because it is essential, just like carbs, protein, and fat are. So they're all needed for optimal health. Our bodies need them to function. Carbs, protein, and fat all provide a source of energy, which is fuel for our body. And that comes in the form of calories. While water doesn't provide any calories, it's still really it's really essential because that actually helps our metabolism function optimally. But one thing to note, just like calories, not all carbs, protein, or fats are created equal. So it's also important to see where these sources are actually coming from. You can have someone that's eating 30 grams of carbs coming from a processed cereal, and that looks different than 30 grams of carbs coming from fruit. You'll, of course, get more nutrition from the fruit. It's going to have vitamins, minerals, fiber, whereas the processed options like your processed cereal, you might get a little bit of fiber depending on where the grain is actually coming from and how processed it is, but you're not going to get a ton of vitamins and minerals from that. So that's why it's really important to actually focus on your specific forms of those macronutrients too.
And I get that they'll look different, but what will be different about them? Like, why can't I just go, okay, I'm trying to eat 150 grams of carbs a day, and that's just the end of it. I can just add them all up. Why can't it just be that?
Yeah. I wish it was that simple. And a lot of times, like, and I'm sure you know this too, like working with clients, we'll have some that come in and they've like completely cut out carbs from their diet, or they're really consuming a low fat diet, but our body needs all three of the major macronutrients for optimal health. They all have specific roles. They all have specific functions in our body to help run the way it should and to keep our hormones happy and our digestion happy. So when you dig a little bit deeper, carbs and protein both provide 4 calories per gram consumed. Fat is going to be on the more nutrient dense side, where it provides 9 calories per gram. But we need all of these in not so specific amounts, but that's going to vary based on individual needs, your metabolism, your activity levels, your muscle mass, fat mass. All of those will help determine like what ratio of macros works best for you. But you can always look at the sources that you're getting your carbs, protein, and fat from. For carbs, your body, this is our body's primary source of fuel. This is what it prefers, specifically our brain and our muscles. So anytime that you're cutting out or greatly reducing a macronutrient, it can have negative impacts on energy levels, your appetite, your hormones. So it's important to get all three in your diet.
Okay. And that makes total sense. But how do you know which are the good ones to eat? When you're looking at a nutrition label, how am I supposed to know this is one that's good for me, this is one that's not good for me? Because I can't always tell what those ingredients are. I can't always tell how they broke down the carbs and the fat and the protein.
Right. It can be very, very tricky. And to the average person, if you're not taught these things, you really don't know what to look for. So when it comes to your carbs, there's actually two categories. There's simple carbs, which are your quick digesting carbs. And then there's also complex carbs, which include your starches and fibers. And these will take longer to digest in your digestive system. And then when it comes to protein, you want to focus on your leanest proteins like chicken, shellfish, crab, lobster, those types of things. Beef, it can go either way. There are certain types of meat that have more fat than others. The leaner the fat, or the leaner the protein, the better, because some of those higher fat protein options have saturated fats. And that is a type of fat that is not necessarily as healthy or nutrient dense as your unsaturated fats. So those are a couple of things that you can look for on the nutrition label. Is first, you're going to have total fats. Then it's going to break it down from saturated fats, trans fats, and then your unsaturated fats. The less saturated and trans fats, the better. You want your total fats to mainly come from unsaturated fats. Those are the ones that have not been hydrogenized. They're healthier options like olive oil, avocados, walnuts. those types of fats, those are also more of your anti-inflammatory fats, whereas saturated and trans fat are your pro-inflammatory fats. So that's why you want to pay attention to the fat section. And then when you drop down under fats, then you're going to get to your total carbs. Total carbs includes fiber, starches, veggies, the sugars, those types of things. And it's important to focus on that because it'll also give you the fiber content. And then under that, you will see total sugar and added sugar. This is where it becomes really important when it comes to carbs because, again, not all carbs are created equal, even though once we consume them, they all get broken down into glucose. Simple as that. But there are some carbs that provide way more benefits than others. So for instance, a piece of candy, you're not going to get any fiber out of that. There's not really many vitamins, minerals, or anything like that. But a piece of fruit, you're going to see that there is sugar in that. So it'll show up on the label. But if you look at added sugar, as long as there has not been any like true forms of sugar or sugar substitutes added to that, it won't count as added sugar. And added sugar is what we really want to try and avoid and limit as much as possible, especially if you have goals to lose body fat or if you struggle with regulating your blood sugar, such as diabetics. You really want to be careful of how much added sugar you're consuming. And then another thing that you can look at with that is the amount of fiber. Fiber will also help slow the release of blood sugar into the bloodstream. So that's a really good thing that you want to aim for is high fiber foods. That's a really good type of carb, something that's not necessarily digested or broken down in the body, but it does help with digestion, blood sugar, certain roles in the body to help create bulk in your bowels and whatnot. So yeah, and then at the bottom of that, you will find the protein and it just gives you total protein. There's really no other simple form on the nutrition label. It's just protein. Proteins are broken down into amino acids, but you don't necessarily have to know all of that information on a food label.
Okay. We understand now what the macros are. We understand that we should be looking for added sugar. We should be looking for that. But if we want to look for, okay, I need to find something healthy and I see an item and it says, this is sugar-free or it's fat-free, then I know that's healthy, right? That's all I need to see, right?
Not necessarily. I always love this because it's individualized. And if you're someone that is diabetic and you're really trying to watch your sugars or at least your added sugars, then those options can be really beneficial. But typically, if an item says that it is sugar-free let's just stick with sugar-free. If it says it's sugar-free, it will typically contain some sort of sugar alcohol. And those aren't necessarily as ideal because, for one, it's a processed form of a sugar that takes out the calories. It doesn't provide any energy, so to say. So you're not going to get really any benefits from it. But the benefit of using these is it doesn't spike blood sugar as quickly as traditional sugars or even your natural sugars like maple syrup or honey. So that could be a positive for using sugar-free options. The downside is that for some, they can cause digestive issues. So you might experience more bloating, gas, some have diarrhea, more loose, frequent stools, and that can be pretty uncomfortable. So you just really have to be careful of how much of those sugar-free items that you're consuming and just be on the lookout. That way you know how much sugar alcohols you're getting in your day.
Okay.
But you want to try and fill your diet with as much whole, nutritious, nutrient-dense food as possible.
Yeah. So they have their place and they can be super effective for people, but also not a go-to and automatic. That's definitely a good thing for you. You need to, just like everything else you've said, you need to take into consideration all of your goals and your overall health.
Exactly.
And what about the fat-free? Does the same thing happen there or does it look a little different with fat-free?
It's the same concept. Fat-free can be really beneficial, especially for those that have high cholesterol, high triglycerides, some sort of heart condition where their doctor really wants them to focus on lower fat foods. But fat also has its place. There are really healthy fat options that are optimal for hormone production and regulation. We need it to help with recovery from exercise. So opting for fat-free can be beneficial if you're really trying to cut back on calories, because as I mentioned earlier, fats provide 9 calories per gram, whereas carbs and protein, it's only 4 calories per gram. So some of those fat-free options, to get the fat out of there, there's additional processing that happens. So for some items, that can be beneficial. Sometimes it can have more ingredients in there just to take away from that fat that they removed. So again, based on your goals, if you're looking to cut out fat, then fat-free options can definitely have a really good place in your diet. If you are looking to get healthier fats in your diet, then I would not opt for fat-free. But I will say, when it comes to dairy, has some really good nutritional benefits. You can get full fat, you can get skim, fat-free options. Look at the nutrition label, because this is where you'll see more of the saturated fats. And accumulation of those can definitely lead to high cholesterol, high triglycerides. So if you're consuming nothing but whole fat dairy products, throw in some low fat options. That way you're reducing your total fat intake throughout the day.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And if it just has a general anything healthy on a label, do I believe that, or do I need to give it some side eye?
Give it some side eye. Marketing has its pros, it has its cons. I would say the word healthy can be either way. So a lot of food products and food companies will use the word healthy on their label or somewhere on their package just because of one specific ingredient. It can say it's healthy because it uses whole grains rather than refined grains. Sure. But it may also have a ton of added sugar, or maybe it's really high in fat, but they can still label it as healthy just because it uses the whole grain. Same thing, if you have a baked good that it's labeled healthy, it could be because they used honey rather than table sugar.
Okay.
So it may still be high in sugar, but they used a healthier alternative, so they can still use that term. So that's where it can be a little wishy-washy. Definitely read your ingredient list to see where that sugar is coming from, see what grain they're using. If you're seeing refined grains or table sugar or sucrose, it might not be your healthiest option. There's always good, better, and best. In my opinion, all food can fit into your diet somehow, but it's all about portion control, moderation, really knowing that you're consuming mostly whole foods majority of the time, and then trying to limit the amount of, processed foods, high sugar foods, high fat foods, and things like that. But if it's every now and then, it's not going to hurt you just to have it once.
And you mentioned that ingredient list. I think that it's worth noting that those are listed in a very specific order for a very specific reason. Do you want to explain that so people understand?
Yeah, I think that is a really important aspect. So I'm glad you brought that up. So if you notice the ingredient list, sometimes it seems like it's just random, but starting from the top, the ingredient that is listed first is highest in weight. So that is mainly what the product is coming from. And then as you go down the list, the lower the weight gets in that product. So if sucrose is the last ingredient, then that plays the smallest role in the ingredients total. If whole grains is listed first, that means your product is mostly made up of whole grains.
Okay. And if those are flip-flopped, you probably want to pay attention, right? Sucrose is the very first item.
You're mostly eating sugar.
Is this a choice I want to make? Quite often.
And they'll use certain words, there's certain additives, and there's many versions of sugar on a label that not everyone knows to look out for.
Yeah, you mentioned sucrose, but dextrose is one. I know there's several of them. Do you remember any of the others off the top of your head?
There's sucrose, dextrose, high fructose corn syrup. That's a big one. Regular corn syrup. I know there's brown rice syrup. You can even get sugar, added sugar from fruit juice concentrate. So these are all things that you have to look for. And then when it comes to your sugar alcohols, those will all end in tol.
Sorbitol.
So TOL. Sorbitol, xylitol, can't think of the other ones, but they all end in tol. I think there's 6 to 8 of those that you just have to be on the lookout for, because some you might be sensitive to, others you might be able to tolerate a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Very good information. What about sodium? We haven't really talked about that, but I feel like when an item is processed, there's always sodium in it. If it's not bought right off the shelf and they did something to it, there's going to be sodium in it. Do we need to worry about that at all? Should we keep an eye on that?
Yeah, you definitely want to keep an eye on it. I think sodium gets a bad rep sometimes because our body does need it. So many people think that they should cut it out. But no, you want to have some sodium in your diet. And the adequate intake amount for sodium is 1500 to 2300 milligrams per day. And that 2300 is the upper limit. But I was doing some research and the average American consumes closer to 3300 to 3400 milligrams per day, which is a lot. And that probably explains why a lot of Americans have high blood pressure, issues with their kidneys, because sodium, it has its place, especially if you're really active, when we sweat, through urine, vomiting, all types of ways that we lose bodily fluids, we're losing sodium. And you're even losing sodium when you're sleeping and breathing. So it's important that we're replenishing that sodium, but not in excess.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as personal note, as women start to go through perimenopause, menopause, it is so important to have sodium, magnesium, potassium. Got to keep an eye on those things because those have a huge impact on mood too.
Yes, those electrolytes are so important. And a lot of people underestimate how they can impact their metabolism and their energy levels. And it's important that if you are consuming a lot of sodium, for one, be mindful of your sodium intake, but also you want to balance it out. If you're not getting enough potassium, your body's going to retain that sodium and extra water to help flush that out. So you want to have a good balance of electrolytes and not just focus on one or the other.
That's wonderful.
And one thing I find really interesting that a lot of people don't know, but fruit and veggies and other foods naturally have sodium that occurs. So what is it? A stalk of celery, I think, has around 50 milligrams of sodium, and a cup of cooked spinach has 125 milligrams.
Here's one that might shock you. It shocked me. A baked potato has like 1500 grams. Like, it's super, super high. I was like, what?
Yeah. And then think about it. You go to a restaurant and they usually coat their potatoes in salt.
And butter.
Butter, both of those are just other forms of added sodium. So yeah, it can add up very quickly. And if you're buying a lot of processed food items, and those all have their place too, like convenience items, there's nothing wrong with utilizing those in moderation, but a lot of them are higher in sodium. So you can opt for lower sodium options, try and make certain things at home, like broth, you can make your own, you can buy lower sodium options. That's always important to look at, because I think so many people don't realize how much sodium they're consuming throughout the day, especially if you're eating out multiple meals per week. It can really add up pretty quickly.
Definitely. Definitely. This has been so much great information. What did we miss? What else should people know about nutrition labels that we haven't covered?
I am going to take it back to carbs. And Crystal, you probably get this question a lot too, but I often have clients that are asking about if they should focus on total carbs or if they should look at the net carbs.
Yes.
Yes. And I always want you to look at total carbs when you're tracking your intake, because the total carbs will include the fibers, the sugar, the starches. Whereas if you're looking at net carbs, it actually removes not only the fiber, but it removes sugar alcohols if they're in there. And a lot of people don't realize that. Some people know that it removes the fiber content, but fiber doesn't necessarily contribute to calories, but it contributes to our blood sugar and how that's regulated. So if you're someone that struggles with blood sugar regulation, focusing on total carbs is important because they all impact our blood sugar, whether it's, you know, fiber, the starches, they all play a role. And some products will be labeled as having low net carbs. And so people think it's okay to have because it may say only 2 grams of net carbs, but the total carbs is 30 grams. That makes a big difference, because if you're also pairing that 30 grams with a side of fruit or some oatmeal, you're just adding on to those total carbs. And if you're only focusing on net carbs, you might be really underestimating your intake.
Especially if you eat it all at once, that's
a really important thing to focus on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, very good point. Okay, well, that was all great information. Thank you so much for your time today, Amber. Before we let you go, would you like to let everyone know where they can find you if they have additional questions?
Yes, you can find me by going to MetPro's website and you can search coaches, or you can just type in metpro.co/metpro-amber and you can book a call with me on my calendar there, or you can find me on social media as well. So yeah.
Awesome. Listeners, that's all for this episode. You can find all the MetPro Method episodes anywhere you get podcasts, or you can go to metpro.co/podcast. Please be sure to follow the show and rate and review. That lets other people know what to expect from the show. You can also learn more about MetPro at metpro.co. I am your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and I will be back in a couple weeks with another episode. Until then, remember, consistency is key.